or at least a device that you can view your Bible on, because being Christmas week, I didn't put together a PowerPoint with all the scriptures on the screen for you. So you'll just have to follow along in your Bible this morning. Is that okay? All right? Okay. We do have a few scriptures that we're going to be looking at this morning. It is Sunday, December the 29th. We're only a few days away from this decade ending and entering the roaring 20s. Right? We're starting to repeat the decades now, right? I don't know what the teens were called, but we're finally into a decade we can call something like the 20s, right? How many people, just a quick survey across the room, how many of you generally make New Year's resolutions? Anyone? Okay, a few of you make New Year's resolutions. Now, don't put your hand up for this one. But if you make New Year's resolutions, or if you have ever made New Year's resolutions, how often do you follow through? Does everybody always follow through? So there's a gym just down the street here, and I'm sure for the first week, maybe 2 weeks, it'll be packed in January, right? And then the third week, the parking lot will be a little less full. The fourth week, a little less full. By February, it's going to be back to normal, right? People tend to make New Year's resolutions, but don't always follow through. And I wonder why that is. Why do people not follow through with New Year's resolutions? Now, not many of you put up a hand saying that you make New Year's resolutions. So if you don't make New Year's resolutions, put up your hand if the reason why is because you don't think you'll follow through. So it's so common. There is an illustration I like to use with students. When I talk to students about temptation, and is Jeremiah still here? Jeremiah, are you awake? So, Jeremiah, what is the illustration I use in youth when I talk about temptation? What was that? Cheesecake. Jeremiah loves cheesecake and was really upset that I threw it out when we did this illustration in youth. Like, he was, like, really upset. You were really upset, right? Because you wanted the cheesecake. Smell it, look at it, and threw it in the garbage after. Right. All right. Well, so I use this illustration about temptation, and I say, okay, let's imagine that you love cheesecake, like Jeremiah loves cheesecake. That's fair to say, right? Okay. So let's say you love cheesecake, but cheesecake doesn't love you. Okay? And let's say that if you eat cheesecake, you pay for it later. Now, imagine if you would, you've got a room, and you've got a table and a chair, and you have a plate and a fork, and on that plate is your ideal piece of cheesecake, whatever that is for you. For me, it's just a really nice, firm, vanilla cheesecake. For you, maybe it's caramel swirl. I don't know. But just imagine, whatever that is for you, and it's sitting on the table, and there's a fork and a chair. But you know if you eat the cheesecake that you love, you're going to pay for it later. And you're standing in that room with that table, with the chair and the fork and the plate and the piece of cheesecake that you love. what are the chances, in spite of the repercussions later, that you're going to sit down and eat that piece of cheesecake? What are the odds? Probably pretty high. That's our human nature, right? The odds are you're going to sit down, you're going to eat the piece of cheesecake, even though you know you're going to pay for it later. And that is how I describe temptation. Now, what's the best way to not eat the piece of cheesecake? Anyone? Well, you can still smell it if you look at it. You still know that it's there. The best way to not eat the cheesecake is not to have it there in the first place. Right? So, if we're making a New Year's resolution, for example, to get healthy, to get into shape. Now, I will argue that round is a shape. But let's say that your New Year's resolution is to get into shape. If you just say that and you say, okay, in 2020, I'm going to get into shape and be really, really healthy. Wednesday comes, it's 2020, and you've still got the Christmas cookies and the Christmas cake in the house. You've got the bags of chips and all the chocolate that people gave you. You've got the leftover stuffing and all the pies and desserts and all that kind of stuff in the house. What are the chances that you're going to get off to a really good start on your New Year's resolution? Anyone? Not very good, right? I have to stay away from salt because I have slightly elevated blood pressure, which can affect some other things. And to prevent it from affecting other things, I have to keep that down. And one of the best ways to keep that down is to reduce salt. And so, if I keep really salty foods or processed foods that have a lot of salt, or did you know that if you eat one of those sausages over at Costco, if you were to eat two of those with the bun and ketchup and mustard, you'd get 151% of your daily sodium intake just with two of those sausages. Do you know how tempting it is just to run across the street for lunch and do that? I can't do that anymore. But if I keep that stuff in the house, what are the chances that I'm going to eat it? Even though I know that the repercussions are not good if I take too much salt, right? So what do we need to do in order to get a good start on our New Year's resolutions? And trust me, I'm coming back to scripture here in a moment. I'm not just going off on a rant about New Year's resolutions. There are actions and steps you need to take in order to set yourself up for success on these New Year's resolutions. Would you agree? So if your New Year's resolution is to get into shape, and I think we've determined that round isn't the shape that we necessarily want, then there are some steps that you might want to take. You might want to get rid of that big bucket of Kawartha dairy ice cream in the freezer. Or just not buy the big tub from Costco. Sorry, that's one of my temptations. Or you might need to buy a gym membership if you don't have the appropriate workout stuff at home, right? But then you also have to make sure that you get up early so that you have time to exercise and you set aside time to plan your meals and make sure that you have healthy food in the house. Those are all steps that you have to take in order to make sure that you set yourself up for success for your New Year's resolutions. Because as we know, most people do not follow through on their New Year's resolutions. So there is a nation in the Old Testament called Israel. Heard of Israel? God's people. And they went through a lot of different seasons, A lot of times we describe going into a new year almost like we're entering a new season because we look at it as a fresh start, a new beginning, an opportunity to start over. And that's where all these New Year's resolutions things come from. That's why we do that, because we look at a new year as a fresh start, a new beginning. And Israel had several of these in their history. I want to look at one of those new beginning opportunities today. Before we get to that, Scripture does talk a little bit about seasons. There is a very well-known passage in Ecclesiastes that talks about seasons. You've probably heard it. I will read it. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, the beginning of it, says, "For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what's been planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace." Scripture says there are different seasons you're going to go through, and there's a time for all the various things that we go through. But I want to quickly pop back to, you know, close to the beginning of history. Not quite all the way, but turn with me for a moment to Genesis chapter 8. Genesis chapter 8, we're going to quickly look at verse 22, because this also talks about seasons and talks about a promise that God gives us in regards to seasons. Now, in Ecclesiastes, it's talking about the different things that happen in our life and the various things that we go through, and that we will go through times of good things, times of not as good things, but the seasons change. In Genesis, we've just come through the flood. The waters have receded, and God is promising to Noah that he will never flood the earth again. And God says something very interesting here in verse 22. He says, "While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease." Talking about seasons. Talking about the seasonal opposites that are so important to the way our planet functions and to life being sustained here on Earth. Now, right now, it's very popular to talk about all the environmental things, right? And it was a big topic in the last election, and you hear all the environmental talk right now. But I'm not saying that we don't need to be good stewards of our planet that God has given us, because he has put us in charge and we're to look after it well. He's entrusted us to look after it well. But God does promise here that while the earth remains, all those important things that make the earth work, all the seasons will remain. We will always have summer. We will always have winter. We will always have time for sowing and a time for reaping. We will always have those. And what does it mean when God says, "While the earth remains"? What does that mean? The earth will remain until Christ comes. All the end time stuff happens. The old heaven and old earth are wiped away, and the new heaven and new earth are put in place. So until that time, there's two things that we can take from this verse. One, if we truly believe that what God says in his word is true, then we're not going to suffer a cataclysmic environmental disaster that's going to destroy all of mankind. Because God's word says so. But two, all the seasons that we walk through in life will also continue. So going back to Israel, I want to take a look at Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30. At the end of Deuteronomy, before Israel is to walk into the promised land, or really march in, storm in, and take it over, there's preparation that has to happen in order for them to be able to walk into the new season of fulfilled promise. The promise that God gave Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob was that they would, that Israel would be a nation, that he would take them back to the promised land. And God having Israel walk into the promised land is a new season for Israel. It is a new season. And they are going through this whole process of repentance, of blessings and curses being pronounced. They're going through this whole reflective time in preparation for walking into this new season. So if we look at the fitness example with our New Year's resolutions, if you don't buy a gym membership and you don't prepare with good food and set your time schedule aside for exercising, you are not going to be able to walk into a new season of physical health, right? Same thing with Israel here. And they're taking several chapters worth of time in Deuteronomy to go through a process. God is leading through a process of preparation to walk into this new season of walking into the promised land. And I would love to read all of Deuteronomy chapter 30. I'm going to skip down and read starting at verse 11 for time's sake this morning. So Deuteronomy chapter 30, starting at verse 11. For this commandment that I command you today is not too hard for you, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend to heaven for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart so that you can do it. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways and by keeping his commandments and his statutes and his rules, then you shall live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. But if your heart turns away and you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are going over the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curse. Therefore, choose life that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and holding fast to him, for he is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. If you remember a little bit about what's going on during this whole process time before Israel enters the promised land, they actually set up where they declare blessings over on one side, and they declare curses over on the other. And this is what God is referring to. He said, I have set before you today these options. Follow me and my word and my plan. Worship me. And this is your option, the blessings. Turn from me, worship other gods. These are the curses that you're going to fall under. And there's all this preparation that's been going on. So there's a few things I want to just touch on this morning as we prepare to enter potentially a new season, a new year, a new season, a new time, new opportunities. Things that we need to do before we enter that new season. One, before we can enter a new season, we need to reflect on the past season. Israel is doing that in these chapters. They're reflecting on their past seasons. Now, what is the season that they are just coming out of? Okay, they've come out of slavery, and then they went from slavery into another season. That season was wandering. How many years did they wander before they could enter the promised land? That's a long time. That's pretty much my whole life up to this point. I turned 40 in 2020. I can't imagine being stuck in the desert wandering around for what's been my whole life so far. It's a long time. That's the season that they have come out of. And I'm sure they're reflecting on the reason why they had to enter that 40-year period. The reason being, when Moses sent the spies into the land, they came back with what? 10 of them came back with a bad report. 2 of them came back with confidence in what God could do. But 10 of them came back and spread fear and trembling through the nation. And I'm sure at this point, as they're going through this reflective period, that they are looking at what caused them to go through 40 years of wandering. Now, even though they went through 40 years of wandering, God was very good to them. I don't have shoes from when I was born that are still in good shape and have lasted my whole life. I'm lucky enough if I get a pair of shoes that last a year, let alone 40. But Scripture says that their clothes didn't wear out. Their sandals did not wear out. God was good to them. He provided for them. Even in that time of wandering, he provided for them. But they're reflecting back on the previous season. If we don't look back on what's happened in our previous seasons, it will taint what happens in our new season. If you watch any sort of TV shows today, they're generally all got these big, long story arcs, and you can't just jump into a TV show partway through the season, right? Because you don't know what's happened before. In the 80s and 90s, it was all episodic television. You could jump in, and it'd be a all self-contained story, and you didn't have to know what happened the week before, or what happened previously in other seasons. But if you don't know what happened today when you watch TV, it's really hard to jump into a TV show. If we don't know what's happened, or we fail to reflect on what's happened in our previous season, it will taint what happens in our new season. Because we will make those same mistakes again. We won't learn from what God has previously taught us. It's one of the reasons why I don't highlight in my Bible, actually. I don't highlight my Bible because I want to know what God is speaking to me now. Now, it's important to reflect on what God has spoken before. But I want to know what God is saying to me now. We need to reflect on it, but we can't live there, right? So if I highlight my Bible and then I read through again, I'm tempted to only pay attention to what God has spoken to me previously, and I miss what God is saying to me now. So there's a really good balance there. We want to reflect on what's happened in our past seasons. We don't want to live there. I don't think Israel wanted to live in the 40 years of wandering any longer than they had to. But before we can enter a new season, we need to reflect on the past season. Number two, we must repent of any sin from our past season. There's a term for this in Scripture, and Israel is going through that process of solemn assembly. We actually did that when I was working at the church in Perth. 15 years ago, they built a brand new facility, and they moved out from their historic home on Lewis Street in Perth and moved out to the highway to a brand new facility. But before leaving that old building and taking up permanent residence in the new, we went through a process of examining the past seasons while we were at that old facility, that old building, and looking at what sin has happened in the church that has not been properly repented of, has not been properly dealt with. And we went through a process of dealing with that as a church family. Because we knew that if we didn't deal with the sin of past seasons, it would taint our new season moving forward. And so there were things that the church had to apologize for, even though people responsible weren't necessarily there anymore. The church, on behalf of that, had apologies to make. And there were other things that had to be declared and publicly repented of. If you get a group of people together for any length of time, there's going to be things that need to be dealt with. Fortunately, there is grace to be able to do that together, right? So we must repent of any sin from our past seasons. We read earlier today the Psalm 139, and verses 23 to 24 say, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." That's something that we need to pray every time we look at moving into a new season. Every time God brings us into a new season, we need to reflect on the past. And if we identify, and if we have Holy Spirit identify to us sin that needs repenting of, we need to deal with that so it isn't carried with us and doesn't taint our new season. Many of you would know the hymn that's based on that passage. "Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked way in me. Cleanse me from every sin and set me free." That needs to be our prayer. And thirdly, and lastly, this morning, after we have reflected on past season, and after we have prayed this, and God has brought things to our mind, and we have repented, and we have made things right, we lastly need to trust God and walk into our new season. We need to trust God and walk into our new season. If we don't trust God and what he has for us to walk into, we might find ourselves walking into a season we were never intended to walk into. Because the old season is done. We are walking into a new season. It's a matter of, is it the promise God has for us? Or is it the holding place that we have to go into because we haven't trusted God to walk into what he has for us? And that's what the Israelites did originally. 12 spies were sent out. 2 came back saying, you know, it's going to be a challenge, but God is with us. Let's go. They were ready to walk into that new season of promise in the promised land. But 10 came back and spread fear and trembling, and it infected the nation with fear. And they didn't trust God to step into that new season. The old season of slavery was done. They were out of Egypt. And they were walking into a new it's just that instead of the season that God had for them, that he had promised long ago, of walking into the promised land, it turned into a season of holding. Just like if you're trying to land at London Heathrow, and you spend half an hour flying around the city before you get to land. You're entering a new season when the old is done. But is it the season that God has for you because you are trusting him? Even though things don't line up and they don't make sense, are you trusting him to step into that? Or is it going to be a holding season because you have to step into a new season? And if it's not the season that God has for you, then it's a holding season until you're ready to take that step into what God has for you. I don't want to be in a 40-year holding pattern. I want to step into what God has today. So as we simply look at a new year coming and what that brings, the idea of fresh starts, new beginnings, and we start to think, okay, what changes do I need to make in my life in 2020? As we enter a new year and a new decade, what is the new season that God has in store for me? There's a passage in the Old Testament that says that the glory of the... You guys know? Of the latter house will be greater than that of the former. It's talking about the goodness that God is bringing in a new season. Then any new season God has you walk in is greater than the old. Because hopefully in the old he's brought you through, he's taught you, he's grown you, and you are prepared to take on more that he has for you. If we haven't, then we're walking into those seasons of holding. So I pray for you in 2020 and in the 20s that you would embrace the new seasons that God has for you, that you would trust him and walk full into it, that you would reflect on the old, that you would reflect on past season, that you would repent of anything that God brings to mind, so that you are prepared for the greatness that is to come. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I know because your word says so, that you have great things for your people, for those who love you, who serve you, who obey you and trust you. I pray that as we leave this decade behind, and as we walk into a brand new year, a brand new decade, where the expectation is new things, that you would show us the new season you have for us. Personally, for our families, and for our church. Lord, I pray that you would give us courage to step boldly into what you have for us. That none of us would be left behind waiting. Lord, I pray a blessing on this church and this family as they go. Lord, keep those traveling this week safe through weather, through traffic. Lord, give safety on roads. Lord, I pray that over this holiday time, if there are any broken relationships and families here, that you would mend those. Lord, we pray blessing. We pray health. We pray spiritual awakening and a longing for you. We pray all of this in your wonderful and holy name. Amen. Amen. As you go today, there are tables out in the foyer with extra food that they can't get rid of. Make sure that you look that over. Take something home to enjoy. And make sure that you spend a little bit of time together before you leave today as well.